Welcome back to another episode of The Witch Doctor, a podcast audio play brought to you by me, Aquanimous Rex. We are now into the second episode of Chapter 2, and I would like to take a second to tell you guys about the exciting plans I have for Chapter 1, which consists of episodes ranging from the introduction through to prescription, a total of 9 episodes. It is my plan to go back and re-record the entirety of Chapter 1 and release it as one continuous compilation with an additional variety of voice actors for all the different characters. I am also considering playing around with sounds, music, and other effects. I will, in the meantime, continue to release the bi-weekly episodes, in which I will probably be doing the majority of voices for convenience's sake. I'm also somewhat limited by my own equipment, but I'm dedicated to learning how to edit my episodes to the best of my capabilities to reduce background noise and get the sound levels at an appropriate range. The compilation of Chapter 1 does not yet have a release date and may take some time, but I wanted to let you guys in on what's cooking, and I will keep you updated. Thank you for listening. The Witch Doctor, Episode 10, Seeker. The forest pulls and pokes and plucks at Chet as he walked through the dense brush, making his way through the short bushes and tangles of woody shrubs. Thorns catching in his legs before being ripped away, without a moment of hesitation or an outcry of pain. Teeth set grimly, one hand brushing away inconvenient branches and hanging spider's webs from his eyes. His other hand clutching the marred and scratched wooden grip of his hunting rifle, a trusty and severe-looking semi-automatic. No scope, 4 rounds of .30-06 Springfield loaded into the magazine, one chambered. In addition, there was a conspicuously large combat knife sheathed in leather which hung from his belt. A low red light illuminated the area in front of him, shining from a headlamp secured over Chet's boonie hat, kept in place by a strap of elasticized cloth. The deep crimson color of the light made him much less visible to others in the darkness, compared to other bright white or yellow lights, but gave him the ability to discern what was before him nonetheless. It was a stealth light, for when you needed seeing but didn't want to be seen, or at least that was the idea. No telling, these days, what some of the muties could see. What hidden spectra of light they could process. It wasn't worth dwelling on, Chet thought, confident that whatever had abducted Isaac Scriven was human. Maybe some free-gathering lunatic, cast out by his own tribe and lured to the town's electric lights and relative wealth, at least comparative to wilder living. Some of the Free Gathering's packs were rumored to eat the flesh of men. Chet had never seen any direct evidence of this, but then again, his only encounters with gathering folk came from the trades and deals that were hashed out occasionally on the forest side edge of town. It had been months since Chet had anything worth bartering, which was unfortunate because he was starting to run low on a supply of herbal mothsbane, which he smoked in abundance and which only grew up north. Chet made it through the outer layer of brush successfully, shaking a twig that was caught in his bootlaces free and shouldering his rifle, pointing down, finger on the side of the trigger guard, his head turning back and forth to send deep red rays of light over the nondescript woodland detritus that littered the forest floor. An old stump, a lichen-covered rock, a moldy log with bright orange mushrooms growing from the side. Pine needles and old leaves carpeted the ground, giving the earth a yielding, cushioned feeling beneath his leather boots. Chet had never really liked the gatherers, always found them a bit too feral. And that was coming from someone who lived in one of the most rural parts of the Northeastern Territories. There were towns rumored to exist independently from the territories and the party that ruled them, even further north than Noel, but Chet had never been to any, and the only traders who passed by were either from the Free Gathering or familiar enough with them to head north for business. One time, after Chet had given a small group of gathering folks a week-old beefsteak for a decently sized satchel of dried mothsbane, they had ripped it apart with bare hands and shared it amongst themselves, disregarding Chet the second the trade had been finalized and eating the beefsteak raw right in front of him. Chet had walked away, but didn't turn his back until they were out of sight, and then he ran the rest of the way home. Presently, Chet continued deeper into the forest, the parts of it that were the closest to Abram's decrepit housing, a falling apart brick building amongst other falling apart brick buildings. There wasn't even a proper wall that separated the Wilder from the nearby part of Inner Noel, where Mr. Scriven resided, because so few people lived in that section of town. If the boy hadn't spent the night with his waste of a father, Chet thought, he'd still be safe in town, with his sisters. There weren't any public workers in Noel who were responsible for walling off the town or upkeep of defenses. It fell to whoever cared enough to do whatever was needed. Abram lived away from other folks and didn't care to wall it off, and so that section remained under-defended, only ringed by a line of abandoned cars piled high with sticks, trash, scrap that wasn't worth anything. It was enough to deter animals, but would be easily bypassed by a person, Chet knew, having crossed over it himself numerous times, using it as a shortcut into the woods. The town had never been attacked by a gatherer, and there were so few people in the area, no one was very concerned, especially after the Mutie Wolves had been mostly driven from the town during the resettlement decades ago, the original reason the walls had even been built. The wall was part of their defense, but it was arguably less effective than Artemis, who is known to send bolts whistling at any mutant animal larger or smarter than a raccoon. The townspeople of Noel had gotten complacent, Chet thought, as he walked into the Wilder, searching fervently around himself for any signs of struggle or human passing. After nearly 15 minutes of nothing, Chet started to get frustrated and started cursing low under his breath.
"Come on, motherfucker. Come on, you bastard. You shit. Where are you?"
But there were no answers, no signs that the boy and whoever had taken him had passed by this way. So Chet circled back to the edge of the woods and tried a different direction, looking closely at the ground, wishing now he had brought a brighter, whiter light. He did this a total of 10 times before he stopped, his back to a tree, unshouldering his rifle. Letting out a long, shaky sigh, Chet stood still and gazed out into the darkness, his light too weak to cut through more than 30 feet.
"Now what?"
Chet asked himself, asked the forest. Almost in response, a sudden hurtling force threw itself at his side, a loud snarling and shrieking inhuman cry like 100 children's whistles, and clicking and clacking. Sharp pain etched itself across his right side, and he felt a rib crunch as he was thrown to the ground, rolling, gun knocked from his hand. On his back, Chet lifted his legs up towards the direction of the mewling, twinkling cries and snorts coming from the darkness, one hand up and thrust out in front of his face for protection, the other quickly and spasmodically trying to undo the clasp and free the combat knife he had at his hip. The red light still shone, illuminating the undersides of branches before giving way to thick shadows beneath the forest canopy. His assailant continued its snuffling whistles, in and out like the heavy breathing of some emphysematic giant, too much phlegm caught in its inflamed lungs. Underneath the breathing was what sounded like a tapping, a noise not unlike the sounds of snapping chicken bones or dry twigs underfoot. With a deeper, heaving breath, the creature threw itself at Chet, coming from the direction the man's upraised feet were pointed, and he caught it under the chest with his boots, and with great dexterity pulled his knife from his sheath and sunk the 8-inch blade into the beast's shaggy, furred side. Using its momentum and convenient new hand grip, Chet let it over his body and, using his legs like pistons, pushed it away from him, wrenching the knife downward, but unable to extricate it from the body of his foe, losing it as the creature was thrown out of sight behind him. Chet rose from the ground stumbling and dizzy, looking around frantically for his rifle, which he found amid the roots of an old oak. The whistling, grunting noise behind him grew into an alien snarl, but he ignored it, picking up the gun and turning with his finger on the trigger, ready to fire. But the beast had not risen to attack him again, and lay on its side, knife handle protruding from its emaciated frame. Chet saw that it was quadrupedal, and might have been the descendant of a wolf or a coyote. Thin skin stretched over its bones, ribs starkly visible. Its face resembled a mass of tumors without any discernible eyes. A jagged slash was all that remained of a mouth, teeth sticking out from its face as though its jaws were turned inside out and wrapped over and under its skull. It didn't move save for spastic shaking, its breathing slowed and quiet. Chet grimaced at the wounded animal.
Jesus Christ!
He walked over to the mutie and shouldered his rifle, taking careful aim and shooting it once through the skull, hoping to God that its brain was still located in its skull, and thankfully being right. The quadruped stopped shaking and lay still.
Nothing but a hungry animal,
Chet said to himself, feeling like crying, feeling crazy and tired and scared. Just a hungry animal, he thought. Not a real monster. Just a starving thing from the woods. No, he thought. Real monsters walk on two legs. They take children and start wars and enslave and rape and brutalize. This was no agent of evil. Merely an animal trying to prevent its own painful existence from ending. And Chet had come out on top, but to no benefit of his search for the missing boy.
You picked the wrong prey tonight, buddy.
It was only then that Chet realized his side was bloodied and leaking slightly, staining his shirt. Every breath was painful for the man, and probing around he winced. Probably a broken rib. He had to go back to town.
The woods aren't anything to be afraid of, right, Plord?
Chet half screamed into the forest, contemptuously, and headed back towards town. After a few minutes of painful, slow walking, Chet stopped, something catching his eye. Shuffling towards it, he saw what it was as he drew closer. A scrap of cloth caught on a tree, soft and brilliantly white and new. This has been The Witch Doctor, Episode 10, Seeker, by Equanimous Rex. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for future episodes. Music Attribution. The intro is Come Play With Me by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. The outro is Iron Horse, also by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Both of the songs are licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.